Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Obi Young, president of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and producer for the studios from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety. It's a project of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the Florida Aviation Network. Today's guest is a young man that I've known for quite some time. I guess neither one of us is getting any younger, are we, Sean?
No, we're not.
Okay. Sean Knickerbocker, he was from all over. I knew him when he was up in Jacksonville, Florida, there for a while, flying with different people, and now he's down here in Central Florida and promoting Learn to Fly and aviation safety, and that's kind of what we're talking about today. And I understand, Sean, that that's one of your major thrusts is the Learn to Fly campaign. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. As a flight instructor and also as a pilot examiner, I try to take pride in obtaining and getting young people into aviation and becoming pilots and whatever aspects or aspirations they have.
One of the things we were talking about earlier was that you're involved in glider operations, and that's a sort of a unique approach to learning to fly in gliders. Some people say, well, you don't need an engine to fly, so what's your approach with gliders?
Well, the big approach of it is that as any in any professional organization, especially the military and the test pilot area, before you become a test pilot, you have to learn how to fly gliders. And it's obviously that gliders is a big aspect in the military, and it also develops good eye-hand coordination and also energy management. And as a glider pilot with the FAA, you can solo at 14, whereas a powered pilot, you can solo at 16. And a glider pilot, you can get your private license at 16 and then a power license at 17. So it's a stepping stone in the building block technique on learning to really polish your skills to become a very good aviator.
Well, that's great. And I think the Civil Air Patrol has some incentives about glider flying. Is that correct?
Yeah, they do. They have a couple gliders. As you know, the Civil Air Patrol is an auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force, and they are covered under some Air Force regulations, which allow Civil Air Patrol cadets to be involved in the glider program, and also they have gliders at a very reduced rate, and the cadets can use these things through orientation flights. And eventually, with approval and some procedures they go by, actually getting their private pilot glider in the Civil Air Patrol glider.
And I assume that the Air Force is still using gliders out at the academy, is that correct?
Yes, it is. I think it's, I can't remember if it's Squadron 93, but it's a detachment of the Air Force Academy out there in which there's a section, there's a course of study for gliders, mainly for the pilots that are becoming Air Force pilots, in which they also can obtain their glider rating, and also they do cross-country and they do WAVE. That's high-altitude flight in the Rockies, and they do some aerodynamics, they do some spin testing and things of that nature, and that's all available to applicants that attend the Air Force Academy that want to become pilots.
Well, obviously, you're involved in aviation and Learn to Fly, and specifically in gliders. Just where are you located currently? We said you were originally in Jacksonville when I've known you for some years, and where are you located now?
Well, I'm west of Orlando about 30 miles, just at the 30-mile ring of the Class B airspace. It's called Seminole Lake Gliderport, and the identifier is 6, F as in Foxtrot, L as in Lima, 0, 6FL0. And we have a commercial glider operation out here, and it's also host of a long contest called the Seniors. It's held out here every March at the Seminole Lake.
Well, you know, that's one of the things where we're coming up here to talk about the seniors. And let's first talk a little bit about, I guess this is a SSA-sanctioned event. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's an SSA-sanctioned event. The Soaring Society of America basically enhances and promotes soaring. They also promote competition amongst pilots and these pilots that are competitive in the United States that meet certain criteria, regions and nationals and open classes, can make qualifications to go to the world team. The U.S. has a team, just like at the Olympics, and they're flown at the world contest in numerous places in Europe and even sometimes in the United States, in which countries from all the world show up and there's a big competition and a big race.
You mean we don't really have to go over to Russia to see part of the Olympics? We can see it right here in Central Florida.
Yeah, you could put it as an Olympic type of competition, but these competitions are found throughout the United States. And if you want more information, you can go to www.ssa.org, and that's the Soaring Society of America's homepage.
Okay, let's let you repeat that one more time. This is the website to find out more about Soaring from the Soaring Society of America. And what's that website again?
Yes, it will be www.ssa.org. And there's a place on there, and naturally there's a place for members only, but there's a general place on there. Actually, it has a map on there, and it says where to fly. And you can go click that map and find the nearest SSA-associated glider operation.
And I would assume that the Civil Air Patrol has a place on their website for about cadets and about soaring and all that sort of information, if they just dig into there also, correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Obi. That is correct.
Okay. We've been talking with Sean Knickerbocker. And Sean, what is your title nowadays? We know that you're a pilot. I guess you're a commercial instrument. Tell us a little bit about some of your background and credentials there.
Well, I've been flying for, maybe 45-plus years. I started out, I grew up in Miami. I've been around aviation all my life. My aunt was a Juan Tripp secretary for Pan American Airlines for 30-some-odd years. So I've been around aviation, and I started flying at 14, 15, and off and on, and basically ended up getting my private's license and then moved on and went into the military, was an Army helicopter pilot, and then got out and got on professionally as a pilot, a senior pilot for U.S. Customs, and basically chased drug smugglers for many years. And I retired in 2004 from U.S. Customs. In the past 10 years, I have worked as a DOD contractor flying some very unique aircraft in Iraq and Afghanistan supporting that operation.
And you recently, with SSA, been given another title. And what is that title?
Oh, that's right. I am now the new Florida governor for the Soaring Society of America. And basically, my job is to promote soaring visit all the clubs that are SSA affiliated throughout the state and find out what the members are having problems with, local regulations or maybe even new regulations the FAA or airport managers has maybe deterred that it may affect the impact of soaring. And then I answer to the regional director, Lane Bush. He's the Southeast Regional Director, and then thus he answers to the SSA chair in which we coordinate and promote soaring.
So now I guess I should call you Governor Knickerbocker, right?
Oh, you can, but that's okay. We go way back, OB.
Okay. We've been talking with Sean Knickerbocker, who is the new governor for SSA for the state of Florida. And stay tuned, and we'll be right back with you on Managing Safety, a project of the Florida Aviation Network, which is a project of the National Aviation Safety Foundation. We'll be right back.
Now let's rejoin Obi Young and Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network.
And welcome back. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety. We're a project of the Florida Aviation Network, which is a project of the National Aviation Safety Foundation. We've got lots of projects around here. And we've been talking with Sean Knickerbocker. Sean, we've been in aviation for many, many years together. And his latest venture, I guess, is soaring. He is the new governor for the Soaring Society of America for the state of Florida. Sean, welcome back. And tell us a little about the history of Seminole Lake Gliderport, where you are.
Well, the Seminole Lake Gliderport originated, the original founder was Knut Kingen, and he started the location was over near Olvida, Florida, and that happened in the early 80s, I think 1981. And over the period of time, Canute purchased some land west of Orlando here where the current Seminole Lake Glider operations are located. And ever since then, it's been expanding and expanding and expanding. And about 5 years ago, Canute sold the operation to Mihai. And I can't say his last name. I think it's Talaya from Romania. And he has he is running the current operation, and Canute stays on as an advisor. And that's where we are now. And we have a beautiful place out here, about 4,000 foot of grass, 300 feet wide, and it's a great place to fly.
One of the things was kind of leading up to is the seniors is coming up, I guess, in March of this year. It's the 9th through 14th or 15th.
That is correct.
And I guess the actual kickoff day is the 10th. Is that right, on that Monday?
Yes. The 9th, I think, is a practice day, and the 10th it runs the 10th through the 17th. And there will be about 75 gliders out here. We'll have world champions out here. One famous glider pilot that's here and his wife is Tom Knopf and Doris. And Tom is a well-known author in glider books and glider management, glider safety, accidents, and things of that. He's here. And we'll have another world glider, a former U.S. team member, Carl Streitig, will be here from Pennsylvania as well. And there's other numerous talented people here, various forms of gliders from standard and 15-meter to I'll be flying my open-class ship in the contest as well.
Well, good. And we've been working with Sean here on trying to get a remote access out to the site. So hopefully we'll be able to be on the air at the Florida Aviation Network on the live broadcast. We hope it is. And at the same time, we will be sending one of our staff people out for photos on Sunday. And hopefully we can get with Tom and get back like we used to with SSA and do some safety seminars that we can bring you folks at home that you can hear on Managing Safety and possibly by streaming there on the Internet. It's a work in progress, if you would. Sean, we appreciate your support for this and your vision for thinking towards the future. Tell us a little bit about why do they call it seniors? Why not just good pilots? Why do they call it seniors?
Well, the seniors is only allowed for people 55 years and older to participate in this. And you still have to meet the qualifications of a normal SSA-sanctioned contest. That means you must have a minimum of a silver badge of flying ability. And that's an FAI badge that's issued by the FAI, and you meet certain qualifications and time staying up and distances and flights. And that's required for all SSA contests because you do go long distances. Some of our legs are 180 to 200 miles long.
And I guess the most exciting thing to see is when they actually launch because they launch a large gaggle of gliders at one time. Is that correct?
Oh, that is exactly right. Actually, we'll have about 70 to 75, and they'll get those gliders all launched in more than likely about 45 minutes.
And what time of day would that be happening, and is it every day of the event?
Yes, it's every day of the event, weather dependent now. And we have a contest director, a CD they're called, and they make the determination how long the legs should be based on the atmospheric conditions, the temperature, the dew point, and things of that nature, and the overcast and the ceilings. And this plays a lot of weather information is involved in this, but it's flown every day, usually just before the peak of the day, somewhere between 12 and 1 o'clock, and then the gliders will be back between 4 and 5.
So they're launching every day between 12 and 1 o'clock. So if the people wanted to be out there, the public at large, say around 11 o'clock would be a good time?
Yeah, 11 o'clock will be a great time. They'll more likely see the gliders being rigged and then the gliders being put on the grid, what we call the grid, GRD. And that means the gliders are assigned spots, just like in an Olympic competition based on, you know, your rankings. And this all plays in. And then all these gliders will be lined up, and you'll see a quarter of a mile or eighth of a mile worth of gliders sitting on the runway, and then the tow planes will start, and it's pretty impressive to watch.
Now, is this like a golf tournament or the Olympics that you have a chalkboard up there with who's doing what and that sort of stuff, or is it more elaborate?
Actually, it's more elaborate. It's more electronically GPS high-tech. Each of the computers on board the gliders, they put a task in. Let's say they're going to fly to task A, B, and C, which is a triangle, and it may be, for example, 150 miles. Well, when you come back, each glider pilot will download that task to a flash card, a little flash card, and he'll bring that flash card and give it to the CD director, and he'll put that into his computer, and it downloads the flight, and then it ranks. Automatically, it ranks based on the speed and if you made all the turn points, and that's where the competitive comes in.
So the people on the ground, even after the gliders are launched and they can't see them, they can actually see what they're doing by the electronic data that's coming across the boards.
That's exactly right. We may have, most of the glider pilots carry Spot. That's a personal tracking device in all the gliders. And last year, I know we had and I'm not sure if they're going to have it this year. They may. They're going to have HD TV on the wall, and you can see each glider about every 8 to 10 minutes where it is, and you can see them moving along this course.
Wow, that's exciting. It's I guess it's kind of an analogy. It's like if you're at NASCAR and you see, if you're sitting there, you can see the cars going by when you're there, but on the other side of the track you can't. But through television and through the announcer, you can kind of keep up with them by looking at the data boards there.
That is correct. That is correct, Obi.
Okay. Well, look, Sean, sounds like there's so much more we could cover, but we are limited on time here with Managing Safety. It's a 30-minute show that comes on every week, and if you'd like to listen to us, you can go to the Florida Aviation Network, or you can go to our website or to the Facebook, and we're published each week there. Also, listen to Ben's briefing, which is the safety aspect of it, and hopefully we'll have Ben down at the glider port there too, along with the rest of the crew. Any last comments here, Sean, before we sign off?
No, what I do is I would love to invite the audience to come out and witness a glider operation and a glider race. It's something that's unique. And remember, sailplane flying and gliders are not for the competitive and the people who want to race. That's one aspect of it. There's recreational side of it in which pilots can come out, and they can stay within 5-10 miles of the airport and climb a couple thousand feet, take your best friend up or your other significant other, and enjoy nature at its best with no engine and sit up there and float amongst the thermals.
So if somebody wanted to come out just any time other during this competition, that's available for them to go out and enjoy the flight then, is what you're saying?
Yes, it is. They can come out and get an orientation flight or a sightseeing flight, which can be taken up. There is some weight restrictions, but when you call in and schedule that, they'll explain that to you there at Seminole Lake.
Okay. We've been talking with Sean Knickerbocker, who is the new governor for the Soaring Society of America for the state of Florida, and we've also been talking about the seniors competition that's coming up at Seminole Lake, which will be taking place March the 9th through the 16th or somewhere in that area. You can check with the SSA site for more information about that, or you can go to the Florida Aviation Network site or our Facebook site and get that information. Till then, wishing you blue skies and tailwinds always. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.